On the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A grand jury in Georgia has indicted former President Trump over his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election in the state. CBS's Nicole Killian outside the courthouse.
We have some 18 individuals charged in addition to the former president. Using these types of racketeering charges really allows the district attorney the opportunity to almost use it as an umbrella charge to link these various individuals together. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that's drug related. In this case, it is more politically related.
Among the others charged, former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and top Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
Specifically, the participants in association took various actions in Georgia and elsewhere to block the counting of the votes of the presidential electors who were certified as the winners of Georgia's 2020 general election.
Democratic lawmakers are responding. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Leader Hakeem Jeffries says these actions reaffirm the shared belief that in America, no one, not even the president, is above the law. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted, "Americans, see through this desperate sham." And the Trump campaign said, "The legal double standards set against President Trump must end." Now to the devastating wildfires in Maui. The death toll has gone up to 99. Governor Josh Green.
They find the remains of people and
just ash.
It's almost entirely ash. It's so delicate that when we pick up our loved one that's gone, they fall apart.
It is hot in Louisiana. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen.
This year has been record-breaking.
5 days in a row of the triple digits.
Meteorologist Peyton Malone says that makes 10 days already this year of 100 or higher.
For the first time in history,
three of our military services are operating without Senate-confirmed leaders. This is unprecedented. It is unnecessary, and it is unsafe.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the holdup is because of GOP Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's protesting the department's abortion policy. The Women's World Cup is down to the last four teams. Spain and Sweden face off an hour from now. It's the first time Spain has ever gotten this far. Sweden, though, is ranked second in the world and playing in its fifth tournament semifinal. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cookie wants to be a professional wrestler.
I'm Cookie Serratos, and I'm 11 years old.
She also wants to win all the medals. That's why Cookie and her family make every day count, squeezing out her best with Go-Go Squeeze.
Okay, Cookie, let's break for a Go-Go Squeeze.
Go-Go Squeeze fruit-on-the-go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added.
Go, Cookie!
Because when you nurture your kids, you squeeze out the best in them. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. Not a low-calorie food. Products range from 11 to 13 grams of sugar and 60 to 70 calories per serving.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 50 overnight under mainly clear skies, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 78 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night, lows around 56. Mid 80s Wednesday, turning much cooler Thursday with highs in the mid 70s and thunderstorms possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
If Wisconsin was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the flipped on its head,
sure.
What would things be made of?
Cheese curd bushes.
Okay.
Right? So you can just pick cheese curds off the cheese curd bush.
Are cheese curds more of a fruit?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this Monday, August 14th. We are happy to invite back a guest we had approaching a year ago. John Plageman is a social worker in Brown County and also is the founder of Section Yellow, which you guys ended up getting a lot of press last year for Section Yellow, didn't you, John?
We were very blessed to get some notoriety and some coverage. The Today Show really boosted up us into the stratosphere for sure. That was a shocker when they called. That's weird when you get a... I'm jumping right in, so I apologize.
No, it goes fast now. This show's only 2 hours.
It does. So when you're in a meeting with New York Today Show producers and then also the Packer Lambeau Field, like head crew, that was interesting because here's one thing that I had to tell the truth, which was weird. Because
you're so used to lying?
No. Remember, I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic, so yep. I do have some character defects that I'm always working on. And one of the things that we did with the Packers when we first got approval of Section Yellow in 2019 is we normally put up yellow balloons to show everyone where we are. But mm-hmm. when one of the yellow balloons popped at the first game, it sounded like a gunshot going off in the concourse area. So we're like, we can't do this. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do with like 500 balloons we ordered? I'm like, we're going to give them away. We're going to give them away in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, there's no alcohol served. That can be considered Section Yellow's fourth quarter. We can have fans blow up the balloon, whether they're a sober ally. So that's just somebody that supports somebody in sobriety, or they're sober themselves or they're in recovery. They can let them go. And then we'll see how many balloons pop up around Lambeau Field. We didn't get official permission for that. We just kind of did Whoops. That on the slide.
Ruh-roh.
So when the Today Show came out, I emailed the Packers ahead of time and I said, hey, this might come up. So I got to let you know, because I'm really excited about this idea. And I was embracing the don't do that again or else. And they checked with their maintenance staff, engineer, whoever. And they're like, that's fine as long as they don't go on the field.
All right.
And we're like, you got to be kidding me. So here's the other weird thing that I always love about being a part of the Packers family now is we started a new Lambeau Field tradition.
That's pretty cool.
We're in it. You're going to see them. And it starts a conversation up. And that's all we want to do. We're Section Yellow's whole role is to just sober awareness. Just be cool with people in sobriety. Know that that's an alternative. Know you don't have to get wasted at every event you go to, or especially a Packer game. You know, it's okay to have one or two beers. Nobody's going to think that there's something less of you, or if you want to be sober the entire event. So when they see the yellow balloons pop up, not only do the kids love them, but fans are going, what's with the yellow balloon thing? And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's because I'm sober. You know, I'm just, we just throw it up there, you know, just for whatever. And then now you're starting to see them pop all over the place.
Yeah.
So Saturday is our first, we did family night.
Okay.
Forgot the balloons to put in the backpack. So we missed that one. Because we're doing all the events now. They want us a part of all the events. And so this Saturday for the Patriots game at 6-7 o'clock when they start? 7 o'clock, I think, is game time. We will have the Section Yellow table, which is outside the concourse in Section 110. Here's the other cool thing. So when we have our meeting with the Packers, you know, I don't think the Packers like me calling it the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but I heard it on the commercial talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in Wisconsin. It is like going there because you don't get to see the other side of it. You just get to see what's in front of you. And when we get to go meet with the Packers, I'm just like a little kid, you know, going to the candy store. And it's so cool when we ask them for a few things, and now they really embrace us. We asked for water. We used to have a designated driver thing, and the NFL went away with it. And at the NFL, Roger Goodell's there, by the way. So if he's hearing this, you know, we love you, Roger. But, you know, we're progressive in Wisconsin. We're bringing progressive back in Wisconsin, starting with the Packers. So we want to just bring water back and give it away. We had funding where we could buy the water at $5 or $6 or $7 a pop. And they're like, well, there's logistical stuff and contracts, and we got to work out this and that. A week later, they're like, okay, you got two cases of water.
So you can give them to designated drivers?
No, we're just giving them away.
Oh, nice. It is always silly to me at events like that where I was at the state fair and I asked for just a cup of water with ice. And they're like, well, we can't really do that because they want you to buy the bottle of water. It's like, it's so silly to me that like, and just give people water instead of making them charge, upsell them so much. We're talking to John Plageman, who is a social worker in Brown County and the founder of Section Yellow, which if you've not heard of Section Yellow, is a group, a support group for anyone who goes to Packer games and is sober or a sober ally. And it's supposed to be, you know, it's a safe space for you to be sober mm-hmm. at an event that isn't necessarily known for its sobriety. And Wisconsin is not necessarily known for its sobriety. I don't know. I'm sure you saw this because this is obviously something you work so closely with. But did you see the article that kind of made the rounds last week that said that the headline was Wisconsin's death grip with alcohol is killing more residents? Excessive alcohol use is taking a heavy toll in a state that celebrates its drinking culture. Like that, I saw that headline. And, you know, as someone who tries to incorporate Wisconsin culture and humor in a lot of the stuff I do, mm-hmm. it kind of makes me second guess making jokes about our drinking. You know what I mean? And like where that line is of like, because it's a problem.
It's a stereotype.
Yeah.
It's a caricature. It's a caricature. Interesting enough, and I haven't read that article, so now you're going to make me look at it, please. The attorney general came and visited us last week. So where this Section Yellow started was the Brown County Alcohol and Drug Coalition for Change. We're a community coalition with all the major AODA, alcohol and drug abuse players in the community. And he came and met with three of us and just wanted to know what was going on because we're making ripples. And ripples are turning into waves, and we're getting attention. And to like the Drink Wisconsinly mm-hmm. and all those type of like little tongue-in-cheek type things, I don't mind it because it brings, once again, it's bringing up the conversation of drinking, and it's making even you, Kristen, think about, well, I wonder if this is good or not. And even you just thinking about it is making awareness, and that's what we want to do. We don't want to be like in anybody's face. We definitely know that drinking is okay. We definitely know that Wisconsin, I mean, that's why we started it here. I mean, and we've talked about this last time. I love Wisconsin culture. My mom and I, side note, just did, you ever hear Story Corps?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Story Corps is here in Green Bay. And I wanted to get the story down between my mom, who was an advocate Al-Anon member, and the crap that I put her through in my addiction and alcoholism, and me being sober and leaving that for my kids, because that goes to the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. We released that to everybody.
Yeah.
So we had a 45-minute conversation between a mom and a son that were at each other's heads for so many years. Mom throwing up her arms, what am I going to do? And a son who now is doing this show and talking about sober awareness. I mean, and my mom was from Green Bay. So the cool part is she's seen it.
John,
she's seen all this.
We had a Peggy from Brooklyn call just to clarify about the balloons. You're not releasing these into the air, are you? Because Peggy mentioned...
They're not helium.
Okay, because Peggy mentioned that she and some neighbors who are farmers, those balloons end up in their animals' feed, and they end up in their animals. I mean, they really are bad for the environment to release them in that way.
So this is awesome that we already got response and people are listening to the balloon thing. We have gotten... things from environmentalists, and my response is the plastic cups alone would outweigh the 20 to 30 balloons we give out. And these aren't helium. You blow them up, and if it's in the cold and it's minus 10 degrees and you don't have a wind, they just go right down the stairs. You know, it's a minimal impact of a silent statement for somebody to make that might still want to remain anonymous, but wants to let people see it. So if you go to games, you might see like maybe less than 10 bouncing around. So I do want to address that. And it's, I am kind of minimizing that, but that's the best that we can do. I still think the statement outweighs the environmental danger of, and it's not going to any farmers' lands. These aren't helium. We wouldn't blow them up. We give them to people and then they just put it in their pocket. And then if they remember to blow it up and put it in the fourth quarter, it's cool. So,
because you said as far as like not having them already blown up, because if they pop, it sounds like a gunshot.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That would be bad. Yes.
That would be scary. We're talking to John Plageman. We're going to take a break soon. But as far as because I know next month is September is sobriety month. And so, you know, I think it's just talking more about like when people choose to reevaluate their relationship with alcohol, what does that look like? What do the resources look like? Because as far as beyond Section Yellow, even in the Green Bay area, what are some of the resources that you recommend for people?
So September, yes, Alcohol Awareness Month. We're throwing a big party. We're throwing a big, huge party at Bay Beach, September 9th. And we are opening up to everyone, and we're going to have burgers and brats and hot dogs for the first 100 people. We're giving away Bay Beach ride tickets for the first 100 people. There's going to be some extra surprises. We're having a band play there, which is crazy. I hope it doesn't rain like today, but we're having a band play there. The alcohol and drug abuse awareness programs in Green Bay, I also do another project called Sober Green Bay, and it's where I go out to businesses and nonprofits, pharmacies, wherever they will have me, law enforcement, and I do a sober Green Bay presentation and touch base on, you know, how Green Bay is in the top binge drinking cities. And then it goes Appleton's number one, yep. Then Oshkosh, Fond du Lac. Okay.
We got to go to a break, John. We'll finish this on the other side of the break. John Plageman is the founder of Section Yellow and a social worker in Brown County. We're talking about sobriety and binge drinking in Wisconsin. If you have questions or thoughts, 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. since my gal and I ain't together.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are talking to John Plegman, who is a social worker in Brown County and also the founder of Section Yellow, a support group that supports those who choose to be sober at Packer games. And in general, it's part of a bigger group that supports sobriety in Brown County, in Green Bay. And as you said, John, you know, Green Bay is top five binge drinking city.
We moved to eight with Wisconsin Journal Sentinel, so that's good. We're trending in a more neutral kind of direction, but we're still in the top 10. If you take Wisconsin in general, the kind of the, I hate to say this, the joke of the whole nation is that almost all 72 counties exceed the national average in binge drinking and alcohol abuse. We're at like 23% and the national average is 19. Green Bay is around 26 to 28%. And we haven't even really got accurate COVID stats, which we would all assume would go up after COVID with the isolation and loneliness that we experienced. So one of the things that I do outside of Section Yellow, kind of on when I put on my work hat, is I do also a sober Green Bay awareness. It's mocked and kind of copied after the Purple Angels Alzheimer's awareness initiative, where if a business does this presentation, like a restaurant or a bar, they're just more soberly aware of their staff are aware of people. I always use this kind of example with my mom and I. We went to a supper club or took the family out to a supper club about a year or two ago. And the bartender kept razzing us about how great his old fashions were. And I'm like, dude, we just want water and a soda. Yeah. I'm going to tip you the same, man. Don't worry about it. You know, just because we're not paying I don't even know what an old fashioned costs at a supper club anymore. $7-$8, you know, we'll pay it. So this at least brings awareness that not everybody is drinking and how to kind of approach people with not assuming that everybody's drinking. And the cool part is we have these Sober Green Bay cards, which are like little business cards. And on the front says Sober Green Bay. Obviously, we're going to use sort of Packer colors, green and gold. And on the back is a QR code to the Brown County Sober Green Bay link. And it has all the AODA resources anyone would need, including Beginning the Journey, which breaks down all the jargon and acronyms, and we talk about how to pay for it, transportation, all those type of elements that I do through my job at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Brown County. And we go through probably about 50 or so a week. I know there's Strew's Pharmacy, which is a very well-known kind of mom-pop pharmacy in Green Bay. They're asking me for about 100 or so a month, just them alone.
Wow.
And that's people just grabbing and going. Because it could be a loved one. It could be a family member. It could be that yourself with a moment of clarity. You're not at a bar and you're just walking through and you're like, man, what is that? Sober Green Bay. You know what? Let me pick this up. You look at it. Oh, I can give this to my loved one. Right? Or I can research it myself. Where do I start? This is the starting point. I did it with the Green Bay Police Department, and they love the fact that if there is a domestic violence call, if there is an OWI call or something like that, and they're with a family member, instead of kind of stumbling through the conversation, which I'm not even great at, you know, you can give them the card at least and go, here's some hope. Here's some hope for
Absolutely.
You. Real simple hope.
And I was going to ask, because one of the things that's been popping up more in Milwaukee, and we interviewed one of the co-owners of Immoxicated, which is a sober bar in Racine. Is there any sober bars and like places that have popped up that just have really good mocktails and stuff? Has that started to gain in popularity in Green Bay at all?
We get approached by that. The best of my knowledge and experience, we don't have anything like that up there. Up here yet. I've been approached a couple of times about starting something up like that. We've had some ideas about that. The mocktails is an interesting area. We've been approached twice by these national mocktail companies. And to be honest with you, when we tested them, it didn't taste like booze, but it tasted like you needed to mix it with something. It was so strong, and it such was a miss the mark.
It was like a can of something instead of like an actually made.
We had bottles. We had a New York company that had bottles, and then we had a local, I think it's local, that had cans. You know, I have kids. I got parents. Let's all try it. What do you think? We took a couple sips. It wasn't our cup of tea. When I think of mocktails, like, because I took my kids to Summerfest this year, and, you know, we stay at County Clare, right downtown, and, you know, mocktails are kind of like fruity drinks mixed with kind of soda. Don't think of like a Shirley Temple, if people remember what a Shirley Temple is.
They remember? Or a Kitty Cocktail, as they're better known
in
Wisconsin.
Kitty Cocktails with the cherries, you know, you want about five or six of them. It's sort of like that, but I think they're coming up with more creative ways, and we're getting that.
We're getting there. So we only have 2 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we get the information out for the event on September 9th.
Oh, yes. So Celebrate Recovery, Bay Beach. It's an amusement park in Green Bay. If you haven't been around, it's one of the old establishments of Green Bay. We have taken over the pavilion. We can seat up to 200 people. We're expecting 300 people plus. I'm thinking 300 to 400. My counterpart, Tom, is thinking 1,000. We got a band plan, like a legit band. We have giveaways. We have secret Section Yellow rocks that we're placing all over the place for the kids. I tried to get a lot of the mascots, Bernie Brewer, Bucky Badger, Bango. We couldn't get them. They were booked. But this is going to be a huge event, and it's free. It's open to the public. It's from 10 to 2 on Saturday, September 9th, which is opening season of Packers season.
And I've been to Bay Beach. Bay Beach is very fun. It's a gem.
It is
the gem you guys
wonderful.
Have up there.
Oh, yeah. And it's 50 cents a ride, and we're giving away 10 tickets to almost the first 100 people. We might even be able to go a little bit more, but we wanted to make sure that this was easy, fan-friendly, accessible. You don't even have to – you can leave your pocketbook at home. We got everything covered.
Awesome. Well, that sounds super fun. John, I can't wait to see what you guys do this season at the Packer Games. You can find more about Section Yellow on their Facebook page. John Plagaman, always a joy to talk to you.
Yes, thanks for having me. You guys have a wonderful day.
Have a great day. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Sampson and Isaac Hoffman about the 5-year homeless plan for the city of La Crosse. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible.
My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 50 overnight under mainly clear skies, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 78 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night, lows around 56. Mid 80s Wednesday, turning much cooler Thursday with highs in the mid 70s and thunderstorms possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And truly, when I think of unhoused people in Wisconsin specifically, and thinking about our winters, it is always something that is just sounds so unbelievably daunting. Because it's bad enough when it's so hot, but truly when you think about the depth of winter and people who are struggling to find shelter, it's
a problem.
Overwhelming to think about.
Yes.
And, you know, certainly we see it in Milwaukee, but an area I didn't realize was dealing with it as much as it is La Crosse. And so joining us for this segment is Brian Sampson, who is works for the Homeless Service, who is the Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse, and Isaac Hoffman, who is the Director at the La Crosse Area Family Collaborative, which is part of La Crosse County Human Services Department. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So yeah. I guess I didn't realize, because I don't live there, but that there is a growing homelessness issue in La Crosse that is actually, apparently from some couple of the articles I read, it's actually getting worse. And so what has the status been, or kind of what has the environment been so far that's causing this?
Yeah. So homelessness has been on the rise, especially unsheltered homelessness, for the last several years. Kind of right before the pandemic hit, we started to see an increase. And in La Crosse, just like in every place across the country, really, that's struggling with homelessness, it's because of lack of housing, especially lack of affordable housing. You know, that's the number one common factor, common denominator when talking about any community that's struggling. And La Crosse has a housing shortage, and especially a shortage of affordable housing.
And so, as the plans as far as affordable housing have been going, is that part of some of the solutions that you guys are working on as far as getting people in different places that are unoccupied right now? Or what have some of the plans to alleviate homelessness in the past look like?
Oh. You want to take that, Isaac?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so there's been a lot of planning over the past, decade, really. But within the last 5 years, there's been a ton of community-wide planning. And so what's changed recently is COVID, and that made the issue across the country more visible. It also pushed communities to do a lot of short-term planning. And in our community here locally, we're no different. And so really all that we're attempting to do is to create a community-wide plan as coordinators and take a more coordinating role as opposed to historically just having a seat at the table as far as county and city government go. We've always been engaged and involved, but more so just as partners. And right now our community lacks a coordinator, somebody kind of to lead the charge as it relates to planning. So that's all we're looking to do.
Got it. And one of the things you just said, Brian, that I want to call out is a different category of being an unsheltered person versus that you can still be an unhoused person, but it's more invisible, right? There's an entire population of people who are not necessarily living on the streets, but they are couch hopping. And so when you guys talk about the different kind of, for lack of a better word, levels of being unhoused, like what does that look like? Just for the clarity, because I think sometimes people are very far removed from what the reality looks like for someone who is struggling with getting shelter and getting a house.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different definitions of homelessness depending on what federal agency you're using. If we're sticking to HUD, because a lot of funding that housing response agencies get are tied directly to those definitions, there's kind of the overall broad category of homelessness. So that would be anybody who's in a shelter. So in La Crosse, one of our primary shelter is the Salvation Army. So you can be sheltered homeless, and that would be under the broader category, or unsheltered. And really unsheltered is anywhere not meant for human habitation. So that could be people sleeping in their cars. That could be people sleeping in the parks and parking ramps, in tents outside. All of that would fall under unsheltered homelessness. Actually, people who are couch surfing don't fall under that level one definition of homelessness for HUD. And so there's a lot of different counts that go out there that are put out there. And people who are couch surfing actually wouldn't fall under that definition. So sheltered would be people sleeping in shelter. There's unsheltered would be people in parks, cars, parking ramps, that kind of stuff.
We're talking to Brian Sampson, who is the Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse, and Isaac Hoffman, who is the Director at the La Crosse Area Family Collaborative, about specifically homelessness in La Crosse. And one of the questions as far as, because when we pointed to one of the biggest problems that's not just La Crosse, but across state, across the country, that's leading to homelessness is the lack of affordable housing. And it's so funny because I feel like, not funny, but I think sometimes the general or conventional wisdom doesn't connect those two things as far as the assumption sometimes that something must have gone terribly wrong, or there is a moral failing, or there is something,
or a drug addiction,
or a drug addiction, or a mental health issue as far as how a person becomes homeless or becomes unhoused. And so could you guys shed more light on how this really can happen to almost anybody, and that this is not something that is just because you didn't work hard enough, and like how common it actually is to people who had jobs or who were working hard, and it's just a series of events that can lead people to this situation?
I think the way that I look at it is just try to think about myself and my family and people that I know. And we all know folks that struggle, and the difference between getting out of those struggles and not sometimes is simply resources. So that can be both supports in terms of human beings and people that are close to us, friends and family, but obviously also economics and dollars. And the way that the fair market is, it relates to housing, that it pushes a lot of people out. And so there's obviously no one reason that leads to somebody not not having shelter. But the difference between getting out of that hole and not is just simply resources. And so, you know, the housing's expensive, and in a lot of markets, a lot of people get priced out of it. And if they're already living paycheck to paycheck with no couch to go crash on when something really bad happens, like a job loss, then sometimes they find themselves without shelter.
And gentlemen, I wonder too if you're seeing more elderly people who are in this situation, because unfortunately, you get older, you develop more health issues, you are losing some of your supports as people are aging with you and dying. Are you seeing more elderly people who are unhoused?
Yeah, I think I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but the average age of somebody who is homeless in the La Crosse area is something like mid-50s.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that definitely is an issue, especially with the aging population. It's a struggle.
So then as far as different approaches when it comes to working in to alleviate homelessness, could you either of you explain what the housing first approach looks like and how that differs from maybe approaches from the past?
So overall, Housing First can have a lot of different meanings and connotations. The definition that we're working off of is trying to get people into housing without any prerequisites or preconditions. So not asking somebody to work a treatment program first, not asking somebody to work, get a job, not asking them to do A, B, and C. It's how can we help connect you with housing of your choice and the correct support provider for you or supportive services for you. And so it's not just here's a handout of housing, you know, it's people connecting people with housing and then giving them that chance to use the house as a building block for success and not the reward for success. And so really, I think that's the approach that we want to see is how can we help break down some of those barriers for people who have imperfect rental histories or who have struggles, help them get into housing, and at the same exact time, connect them with a service provider who can help them work on whatever needs they want to or whatever needs that they have moving forward. And so that's really just the starting line, not the finish line for people when talking about Housing First. But generally, those are the principles that we're working off of.
And I just wanted to add that, you know, one of the other, you know, guiding factors for us with that is making a decision whether we want to treat folks out on the street or treat folks in a habitable structure.
Yeah.
The reality is that our community is providing supports for this population while they're on the street, and that's not safe or conducive to long-term stability. It's not the most economically feasible way to go about it. And so that's another thing as it relates to Housing First is important to think about is where do we want to provide supports for folks on the street or in a safe environment.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that's, and it's evidence-based, right? Like this has been tried in other communities, other cities across the country, as far as what this, how much just if you give people homes, shockingly, it can help the problem. And so as far as the five-year plan that, as I know that you guys have been talking about, and I think there's a WPR article, is that baked into it? And so if so, what does providing those units look like for La Crosse? As far as, is there buildings that are already like zoned for this? Is there stuff that has to get built? Or what does it look like to work within the community and the city and the county to provide housing?
Yeah, I would say that what we're looking at in the five-year plan is looking for key stakeholders in the community to identify different strategies and priorities in the plan. I feel like the policymakers at the city level and the county level are aware of the housing shortage and will continue to provide that education. I think maybe putting buildings up is out of the scope of this plan, but we do need to figure out a way to bridge that gap between when the plan begins and until some of those housing projects can get up. There are several housing projects either or at different stages of development in La Crosse. Those will be helpful, and we need more. I think it's just figuring out, you know, those take years and years to get up and going. And really what has been successful in other communities is looking at not just one building where a bunch of people go and stay in that one building. It's giving people options so people can choose. Yes, a single family home works for me in my situation. No, I want to be in an apartment building. I want to be downtown. I want to be out on the outskirts, you know, giving people those different options. So I think the plan will have to be, how can we as an entire community bridge that gap until some of those larger housing projects can get up and running.
Got it. And what is, like I kind of mentioned before, sometimes the general public's attitude towards homelessness is not always the most empathetic or sympathetic. And I think there's also sometimes where an idea in abstract sounds nice until it's going to be in your backyard. And so how supportive has the larger community been of some of the ideas that have been thrown out that can help? Have people been receptive? Has there been obstacles? Just generally, like, what's the attitude been like?
Brian, you can jump in and add to this. I think just in general, we're at a place in our community where everybody agrees that something needs to be done. Good. And so it's a really good spot to be in. And so we're definitely aware of different viewpoints and ideology around the topic, but that's not, you know, our goal to dive into. Our goal is to create some options for folks and bring the community together. And when I say community, the providers, the helpers, you know, everybody that's engaged in this work. So in general, the response has been good. Great. And positive, that the city and the county are coming together. And those that might have different opinions about what to do and what the final plan should look like, we really haven't gotten to that point other than to just, you know, kind of embrace the fact that we are coming together to do some planning.
That's great to hear. Well, in the short time that we have left, is there anything else you want people to know about the project, know about this issue, things that they could go learn more about?
I think just talking about that stigma of people who are experiencing homelessness, of by and large, and speaking directly for the La Crosse community, these are our neighbors, people that grew up in our community, people that we worked with, went to school with, went to church with. And so I think that's just really important to understand. And just because somebody might have a mental health addiction or a drug addiction doesn't mean that they're any less worthy or shouldn't be worthy of receiving help or getting help.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. Brian Sampson is the Homeless Services Coordinator for the City of La Crosse, and Isaac Hoffman is the Director at the La Crosse Area Family Collaborative. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Take care.
All right. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fast enough so you can fly away. You got to make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Elephant walk. Now I know. Welcome back. This is Asco's Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we raised some money for some diapers yesterday.
Yes, it was great.
It was great. Well, the weather was mediocre.
It was a little spitty.
But if you let... Oh, on Sunday, my husband and I did a bit of a diaper fundraiser for Milwaukee Diaper Mission in Milwaukee. And it was supposed to be kind of like a Yacht Week-themed white party, which most people got the memo. Some people just didn't. They're like, I don't own white.
It's funny when it comes to, like, I
realized that with pink when I went to go see the Barbie movie. I was like, I don't own a lot of hot pink.
Right.
So, but we had it outside thinking, you know, there'd be like Aperol spritzes and stuff. And the weather did not inspire.
It was a little on the chilly side. It was a little spitty. At least it's not like today.
No, it's not like today. We had a fun time. I think I was just counting. I was trying to count in the picture because we didn't get an official account. But I think we have over 50 boxes of diapers.
Wow.
Of different sizes. There's some of the big, massive boxes. There's some that are small. So I have to go back through and count what we all got. But thank you to everyone who came to that.
And don't forget about online donations,
yep,
too.
And then online, we'll put that in today's show notes as well if you'd still like to donate what you can to the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. But yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
And so I don't know. I don't have much else to... Do you have any other thoughts about the party?
I was... Joe Zepecki, who was a friend of the show, and his wonderful wife, Melissa, were there, and we were talking about your baby nursery theme, which is elephants.
Yes.
And then I brought up the whole elephant lamp thing, and then your mother told me...
Oh, did she? I thought she... I told her to keep that to herself.
No, she told me that there was already another elephant lamp, but she said the room is really dark, so you need the light.
Yeah, it was, yes. So you on Friday, you gave me a very adorable elephant lamp. And
not one where the trunk lights up the bulb, because I couldn't find any.
That one. Because apparently there is maybe just one elephant lamp for a nursery online, because my mom was listening to the show when you were mentioning the lamp, and she goes, oh, crap. And because she, in the back of her mind, she's like, I bet we got the exact same lamp. And so she got to my house on Friday afternoon. Or right after the show, she goes, let me see the lamp that Jane got you. I go, okay. And I showed it. She goes, God!
It is the exact same lamp.
It's the exact same lamp. The brand that it made it is the same brand of the sheets and the baby blanket that she bought.
Okay.
And then she went up to the nursery and goes, this will be fine. We'll just have both of them next to each other. This will work.
She was so cute. And then Joe Zepecki and I started talking about how disappointed I was. I could not find an elephant lamp with the trunk that would light it up. And he said, this is your money-making idea, Jane.
There you go.
Do a donkey.
Oh.
Where the tail lights it up. And do an elephant where the trunk lights it up. And I can sell it to both political parties and make $1 billion.
Maybe we'll add that to our merch store. Although there is something ironic, I think, for me who loves elephants so much, and to know that they are the representative of the Republican Party is a little like,
it's a symbol.
It's just a symbol.
Exactly.
I actually don't know the backstory of that. I'm sure one of our listeners knows the backstory of
why a donkey, why an elephant?
Why a donkey, why an elephant, and where that dates back to.
If you want to check in and impress us, 855.
You know that off the top of your head?
844-967-2789.
We got 4 minutes left in the segment, so if you know that and want to give us a call right now, let's go for it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I feel like we've started the story, so now we have to keep giving updates when it happens. But over the weekend, there was a little bit, well, not really progress, but Zuckerberg, as in Mark Zuckerberg, has said that it's time to move on from the Musk cage fight.
Oh, and we were all so looking forward to it.
I know. So apparently there was a text thread that got published as far as him saying, you know, going back and forth between Zuck and Musk that if we're not going to actually do this, it's time to move on. But Musk is not necessarily back down.
It kind of sounds like Elmo, though, was coming up with lots of excuses. Oh, my neck hurts. I need to go have this looked at before I kick your butt. Okay. But now I'm okay. So let's, you know,
he was never really going to do it.
No.
Right now, Mark Zuckerberg is in like ridiculous shape and has actually been fighting.
Jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, versus Musk, who does not look like he's in ridiculous shape. But yeah, Mark Zuckerberg said it's time to move on from speculation that there will be a cage fight match between him and Elon Musk. Quote, if Elon ever gets serious about a real date and official event, he knows how to reach me. Otherwise, time to move on. Zuckerberg posted Sunday on Meta's Threads. I'm going to focus on competing with people who take the sport seriously.
Take that, Elmo. Meow.
And so maybe this is the end, unless Musk's ego refuses to let him let this die.
Well, my question, I mean, wasn't one of the whole things was they were going to do this fight and then they were going to donate, the winner was going to donate to charity, right? So donate to charities, you guys.
Well, speaking of which, talking about donating to charities, do you see other multi-billionaire Bezos and his girlfriend, fiance, whatever? $100 million to Maui.
Wow. Well, that's a good start.
Good start. I mean, it's still a fraction of what he's actually worth, but
well, it'll go
to the right places and it'll go a long way. But that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
I mean, there's a lot of and the truth is, you think about a place like Maui, There's probably a lot of wealthy people who are invested in that place being rebuilt, which doesn't negate how awful and terrible
what
happened is, and the fact that the death toll is still rising and how terrifying it sounds like. Being caught on an island with wildfires that
racing
are spreading as fast
you.
As they were explaining that it was, like, that sounds like a horror movie.
Absolutely. And there are still almost 1,000 people who are still missing.
Jeez.
So this could really turn out to be
really bad.
Really devastating.
Well, not to end on that note, Tony Zimmerman did just give us a quote that says, Andrew Jackson was called a jackass, but he kind of liked it and adopted Jackass Johnson as the name. And it was not long after that the donkey became established as the symbol of the Democratic Party.
Oh.
So there you go. So that explains the donkey.
Okay, what about the elephant?
Don't know about the elephant. We may have to, we only have a minute left in the show, so we may have to come back tomorrow with the update on how the elephant became the symbol of the Republican Party. But thank you to our guests today, John Plagman from Section Yellow, Brian Sampson, and Isaac Hoffman from La Crosse, talking about the homelessness there. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. Please subscribe when you're on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also always find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. We'll be back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A fourth indictment for former President Trump. This one comes from a grand jury in Georgia.